Let me say to begin with this morning that it is certainly a pleasure for me to begin my new year in worship with you here at Macedonia Church. There's no place that I'd rather go, no people that I love anymore. And my good friend, Brother Herring, has prayed such a sweet and humble prayer that I would ask you to continue to pray for me for the time that I stand before you this morning. Oftentimes we hear about this time of year that we make New Year's resolutions about how we're going to stop this or continue this or lose 20 pounds or do a lot of things in our minds and have plans about things to do. And I confess to you, Brother Virgil, I've done that. But I tell you, it doesn't take it long to fade out, and I'm right back where I started. So pray for me. I need help this morning in what I do. And I hope that you'll pray for the church, wherever it may be. I hope that you'll pray that God will raise up men to declare the word and preach the gospel with the glory of God sent down from heaven.
Yes.
And that he might give us that are here strength to continue on, to press toward the mark and the prize and the high calling as it is in Christ Jesus. And not only that, but we might ever keep in our mind the central thought of what our lives ought to be, and that is that we are in Christ.
Yes.
And being in that legal position, we have an obligation to follow Christ and do those things that he commanded us in his word. Because the world will ask the dead sinner to do something that the Bible says you can't do. But the Lord Jesus commands his people who have been born from above to do those things that they are able to do. And he'll give them grace to do that, sufficient. And as that grace is sufficient, may we always be willing to make that sacrifice. This morning I call your attention to the 5th chapter of the Ephesian letter. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. But the Bible comes on down through here, and I'm going to not belabor you with a lot of particular verses here, but I want to read that to you and come over to chapter 6 and the verses. I want to come before you now in chapter 6 and verse 10. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I've skipped some verses in there intentionally to give you the beginning and the ending of what Paul's complete thought here was, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Yes.
Now, that's very important because Paul begins this book of six chapters with the terminology Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I like that.
Yes.
When he said he was an apostle not by choice,
no,
but by the will of God. Not any argument to be made, not any questions to be asked. And he was chosen for this particular task to the saints, or the sanctified, the set apart, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I'm assuming that means outside of Ephesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just stopped here long enough to say that there is no peace, actual peace, for the child of grace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the Old Testament writers, Jeremiah and Isaiah, saying that there are those that cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But here, he directs our thought, by the will of God, here is a man that is called according to the will of God to be an apostle to the saints at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that is outside of Ephesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, H-A-T-H, who hath blessed us with all, A-double-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
And then he comes to the fundamentals of the faith, according, that is, in agreement with what has just been said. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that beloved is Christ, in whom we have redemption, or the buying out, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, I've read those fundamental verses because it directly applies to what chapter 5 and verse 6 concludes this particular book with. We read here about these who are chosen, these who are without blame before him in love, these who have been predestinated unto the adoption of children, these who have been made accepted in the beloved, these who have been redeemed through his blood according to the riches of his grace. Now, when you read here in chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, be ye, ye who? Ye the chosen. Ye the predestinated, ye the adopted, ye the redeemed, ye the forgiven. But ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That could not be made any more plain in the Bible anywhere by any means than the Lord Jesus inspired this man to write to the church at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus everywhere, "Be ye therefore." Therefore why? Because you're chosen, because you're predestinated, because you're redeemed, because you're accepted, and because of those particular facts. I want to tell you, those are facts. They are not just conclusions, they are facts that the apostle were inspired to write. "Be ye therefore followers of God as like dear children." Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, in this day and time in which we live, this is a hard route to try. There are temptations on every side. There are those things that would draw you away. Mm-hmm. There are those things that would stand in your way. And if you don't think things stand in your way from worshiping God or going to the brethren, you think again. Paul had the same problem. He said, "Brethren, I'd have come to you often, but Satan hindered me." Mm-hmm. Satan hinders us. Don't think he doesn't. You're no match for him. But I want to tell you right now, Paul gives the call, the predestinated, the faithful, the sanctified, the forgiven, the adopted. And when he talks about these, he said, "You be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath," H-A-T-H, that word is used time and time again. It means a circumstance that has already taken place and is in effect now. "And walk in love as Christ also hath," H-A-T-H, "loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour."
Amen. Praise.
Walk in love. Now that's not talking about you walk in harness with everybody that loves everything everywhere. But the standard and basic principles of love is found in the Bible itself. And in the Bible itself, it tells us that the love of God, which we have been blessed with, is not ours because of a time we came to him, but it is because of a choice he made when he looked down and saw us. And through the shed blood of that mediator, he has effectually, and I like that word, effectually, with power to perform, created us in Christ and made us what we are. Now, what is his command? He says this, "Be ye therefore followers." Followers. That means you go behind. Mm-hmm. Where he's been. Followers. I used to have a hard time keeping up with my daddy. I tried to make every step that he did.
Yeah.
He was a long, tall, lanky fella. Never been a more orthodox primitive Baptist ever walked the face of the earth than he was. And I tried to, when I was little, I was the best boy I had. And I tried to walk in every step that he made. I even remember trying to step in his steps. Yeah. Do you see what I remember? I hope you see what I'm saying. But I tell you, he had too long of a stride. Yeah. I never could make it. I never could step in his steps. But I could follow.
Yeah.
I could follow. And I'm not saying he was a perfect man, but I'm saying in my eyes, I thought he would live forever.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be here forever and ever. But I came to stand there and hold his feeble hand when he passed. And so many times I read this text, and when it says, "Be ye therefore, be ye." Now that's something we do.
Yeah.
Who does? The predestinated, the called, the faithful, the adopted. You see.
Yeah.
Be ye therefore followers of God like dear children, and walk in love. That is, walk in the principles of the love of God. The love of God. As Christ also hath loved us when we were nothing, when we were without hope and without God in the world. When you deserve nothing, you receive everything.
Yeah.
Because God hath loved you before you were ever here to love. And that in his book, says the psalmist, all my members in that book, in his book, all my members were written when as yet there was none of them. Oh, what a blessed statement on the first Sunday of the new year.
Amen.
Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself, not offered himself,
no.
But hath given himself.
That's right.
For us. As an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, when you go back to the Old Testament and you look in the tabernacle, when those offerings were made, incense was burned, and a sweet-smelling savor came out of that place where the offering was made. And it was symbolic of going up before God himself. Well, I affirm to you today, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, that the sweet-smelling savor of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ went up before the very presence of God. And as that sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor went up before God, God was honored with the presence of that sweet-smelling savor. And it not only showed the fulfillment and acceptability of the sacrifice, but it also showed that sacrifice was acceptable to God as a complete offering for sin that would never have to be done again. Thank God that's the truth today.
Amen, brother.
But now he comes on down there and tells you about things to avoid.
Yeah.
Avoid fornication. It's not hard to understand.
No.
All uncleanness or covetousness, that'll get you. Let not it once be named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read through all of those things, you begin to see the things that draw you away. You see the things that we begin to drift into. And brother, I want to tell you something today, and I'm going to say this just as easy as I can. We have to be careful in the church that we don't drift into that same lane of traffic.
That's right.
It's difficult. It's a difficult time for us in the church. So many of our churches, and Jesus said this. Somebody said, well, Jesus got more than one church. No, he hadn't.
No.
He set up one church.
That's it.
He set up one church because there was one Lord. And because there was one faith. And because there is one baptism.
That's right.
He did that. And that cannot be questioned if you're a Bible believer.
That's right.
And if you're not a Bible believer, you don't need to be here this morning.
That's right.
I'm sorry. The Bible says this, and you come to see what he says. He says, be wise and watchful. Go with me to chapter 5 and verse 15. I want to get this the time that I stand before you. See then that you walk circumspectly. I want you to get that word. Not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. Walk wise and watchful.
Yes.
That's what it means. Wise and watchful. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are troublesome. Redeeming the time. What kind of time? The time when we walked in love. The time when we were fathers of God as dear children. Why? Because you're chosen, you're adopted, you're predestinated, you're adopted. You see how all of that lines up one together. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. No church requires any man to be perfect. Now you don't get me wrong. That's requiring something that is beyond the requirement of the church. The church is a place where sinners worship God. You either one of two things today. That you're either a sinner saved by grace, or you're just a sinner. One or the other. You're a sinner saved by grace, or you're just a sinner. That's where in the old song says, Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend.
Yeah.
As such I look to thee. Now in the bowels, the depth of the wisdom of God. Now in the bowels of thy love, O Lord, remember me.
Amen, brother.
See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, wise and watchful. Redeeming the time, bringing the time back. Redeeming, bringing it back, you see. Redeeming the time when we could feel the tenderness of the mercies of God.
Right.
The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Because the days are evil. They get away from us. They're troublesome. The Bible says these things because simply saying that we have to be careful in our walk with God. It's not that you have to be perfect. You're not going to achieve that. But be careful with it. Be wise and be watchful.
Yes.
Now, chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Now, you see, we've started over here with Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, or the sanctified, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that is outside Ephesus. Now, he's gone through all these basic doctrinal points. He's gone through these practical issues to the church. And he's told the church, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Jesus Christ loved the church as his bride. Is that not right? Sure it is.
Amen.
We love our wives as our bride. And if we are what we claim to be, we would give ourselves for her.
That's right.
That's how we would follow Christ. He gave himself for his bride. His bride. And that bride is made up of his chosen people in every nation, in every kindred, in every age, in every place. Those who would never hear the gospel. And thank God we today, that's the truth, if the gospel is never preached at all. But you and I are a blessed people today because we have been informed about what Christ has done for us. And how beautiful that is. When he says, finally, my brethren, same ones now, hadn't changed courses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, there's no place in the ministry for lazy preachers. I'm going to tell you that. There's no place in the ministry for lazy preachers. It takes being strong.
Yes.
You can't wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. It just won't work. It won't work. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yeah.
Now, he's not only talking now to here. I think particularly he's talking to the ministry, but he's talking to you also as these who are followers of God as dear children.
Yeah.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, W-I-L-E-S, that is the trickery of the devil. I may have told you this year before, I'm a little boy enough that I still like to watch cartoons. Amen. Y'all don't need cartoons? I do.
Yep.
And you know what my favorite one is? Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. It really, I've got a channel at home. That's all it's on there. Amen. That's about all I watch. You know, it's a cartoon. You know, Porky Pig, Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam. You know, I got it all in here. You know, I mean, I like it. You know, Foghorn Leghorn, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that I love. But they're also there about, there's a guy on there named Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
And he's all time setting traps for that roadrunner. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, the devil is ahead of you. You hear me? I'm going to tell you, for the simple reason he's setting traps out there for you. He's setting traps out there for you. He's dug out places. It's going to be rough. He's got temptations out there. But the Bible tells us here that there is in command a God who is all-powerful and who is able to give you the armor to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here it is. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. Not part of it, all of it. It's a complete commitment. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen to this now, it's very important. We wrestle. This word wrestle means struggle.
Mm-hmm.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No. But against what? Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I want to tell you something, my friend. These things are the struggles we face in the old Baptist church today.
Amen.
We face them today. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You here are blessed above measure because you are able to do things because of the faithfulness of these who are here. Others have been that blessed, but they've gone down since. Don't tell me churches. Now, the church's not going to die. Jesus said, I'll not be left without a witness.
Right.
The gospel will be preached when Jesus comes a second time. It is there of the faithful. And when he comes back, Brother Virgil, the Bible said, I find faith in the earth.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. It's a struggle. That's the reason the Bible says it is for us to keep the faith.
Yeah.
It teaches us to keep that which we've been given. That is to care for it. Right now, my wife and I and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, we're having a time with her parents. Just in the last 3 months, they've gone down considerably. You couldn't believe it. I couldn't describe it to you. I don't have vocabulary to do that. And for almost past 90 years, they've lived. And my wife's mother told me that she's been a member of the church 70 years. And my father-in-law was grew up a missionary Baptist, and when he joined the church, he left it all lock, stock, and barrel. I want to tell you, he come whole hog. You understand what I'm saying? He did. I baptized him 40 years ago. But they feel like that they can still keep themselves. You understand what I'm saying? They feel like they can still keep themselves. But now they've had to find out that it's a struggle as age comes on.
Yeah.
It's a struggle to continue with the strength that they had 40 years ago. It's a struggle. It's not there anymore. Because of time, weakness. Because of health, weakness. Because of circumstances out of their control and our control, there's weakness there. But I want to tell you today, our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is from everlasting to everlasting, that same God gives us that same strength in the church when we are able to put on the whole armor of God. And I want to keep it on.
That's right.
I want to keep on the whole armor of God, not part of it.
Amen.
Listen now to what he says. And I know I've got to hasten along. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the things that we see, but against principalities,
yeah,
against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and they're out there. And against spiritual wickedness. Not just wickedness. Do you hear what this says? You ever thought about that term? Spiritual wickedness.
Yeah.
Spiritual wickedness. I want to tell you, there's spirits out there today, my friend, that are wicked. They would bar the doors of this church if they could.
Yeah.
Spiritual, in the name of spirituality.
Yeah.
They would do it. Thank God for you today. Then he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Take it to you, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, the troublesome day,
right,
and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. We're not saying being unreasonable. That's not what he's calling for. But he's standing against the spiritual wickedness in high places. How are you going to do it? With your loins girded out with the truth. You see, that's spiritual. That's not something natural. Having your loins girded about with the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the breastplate was to protect the heart and those parts of the functioning body behind the breastbone. But now he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Of righteousness. And your feet. You know, some of these days I'll preach on feet over here, but he says feet here. And your feet shod like a draft animal. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen to that. But above all of that, here's something that has happened. You ever heard of a hyper child?
Yeah.
You ever heard of a hyper child? You know what that means? That he's got energy above and beyond some child that is normal. You know, you might call one of yours hyper. I've called mine hyper. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you right now that he's above and beyond in energy what a normal child would be. But above all, hyper. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able, with the shield of faith, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't tell me we hadn't got a defense. We have. Somebody says, well, we can just let everything go in a handbasket. No, we don't have to do that. We've got a defense. Why? Because we've got a defender. We've got a buckler. We've got a shield. And he says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. You see, this is spiritual. What did the helmet do? It protected the head. And all the functions of the body are directed by the head. You hear? You separate a head from a body and all the functions of that body cease. Protecting the head, the helmet of salvation. That's the reason football players wear helmets, to protect that part of the body that directs all other parts of the body. The helmet of what? Plastic or fiberglass? No. But the helmet of salvation. No wonder he could say the helmet of salvation, because he talks about the called, the justified, the glorified, the predestinated, the foreknown, the accepted, the adopted, the chosen. You go back and you just read it all up and you find out why you can do that. You find out who can do that. Take the helmet of salvation. There it all is, working in the mind. And the sword of the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Here it is. You've got it. You don't have to be drilled in it day after day. You can read it for yourself. You hear? That's the reason Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 to study to show thyself approved unto God a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. He didn't need to be ashamed of it, but rightly dividing not truth from error, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm-hmm. There's no error here.
That's right.
But rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is what we've got. We've got the judgment of the apostles right here. The judgment that they gave to the church under the influence of the Holy Ghost by Jesus Christ, who had ascended to the Father. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all, here it is, perseverance. You hear that? Perseverance. That means being followers of God as dear children. And supplication for all saints. But he said this, and pray for me. And pray for me.
Yeah.
That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly.
Yeah.
To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He was an ambassador. I don't know of an ambassador anywhere that's trying to get some citizen of Mexico to come over here and be a citizen. That's not the job of the ambassador. The job of the ambassador is to promote what the home country believes. You see? He said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. Paul said, I'm an ambassador in chains. He says that those at Corinth were not ashamed of my chain. Look at this. And I'll close this down. For which an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things that God intends that I miss. Here comes a man that will. whom I have sent to you for the same purpose. You see how God works. Brother Virgil, he not only started with John the Baptist, but he come down to us. This church right here, if we're what we claim to be, we can trace this church and its identity right back to the banks of the Jordan River.
Right.
Amen. Now he says this, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good place to stop it.
Yeah.
In sincerity, grace be with you. I pray on this first Sunday in January, in sincerity, with all the power that in me is. I pray for you here at Macedonia. I pray for everywhere else where God's people meet together, that the mystery of the gospel may be continually made known, that we might put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the devils. Why? Because we're chosen, predestinated, called, foreknown, adopted, and redeemed. Because of all of that, my friend, because of all of those graces, you and I today are able to live in this world that is no friend of grace. And not only that, worship God in spirit and in truth in this place that God calls my church.
Yeah.
Thank God for that precious blessing. Thank you, and may God bless you.